case number 18292. This is an application of Samson Resources Company for an order amending the field rules for the Ambrose Bakken Pool to establish 5 overlapping 2560-acre spacing units, Divide County. All interested parties, please come forward.
Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 1855, Bismarck, appearing case 18292 on behalf of Samson Resources Company. We're going to be calling 3 witnesses in this matter. Adam Presnell will be offering some land testimony. He's present in the hearing room. Troy Johnson will be offering some geologic testimony by telephone. And then Tiffany Sessions will be offering some engineering testimony. She's also present with us in the hearing room. I would point out, Madam Examiner, that as a result of previous correspondence with the Commission, we've requested that be withdrawn from this application sections 15, 22, 27, and 34 of Township 163 North, Range 99 West, and sections 18, 19, and 30 and 31, Township 163 North, Range 98 West, and sections 6 and 7, 18 and 19 of Township 162 North, Range 98 West. And with that, we'll be calling Adam Presnell as our first witness.
I'm going to swear in both the witnesses here, if you want to raise your right hand. Promise to tell the truth in this case?
Yes.
Thank you.
Adam, would you state your full name for the record, please, and spell your last name?
Adam Presnell, P-R-E-S-S-N-A-L-L.
And by whom are you employed in what capacity?
Samson Resources, as a district landman.
And in that capacity, have you testified before the commission previously and had your qualifications accepted as that of an expert?
Yes, sir.
And in preparation, offer the further testimony of this witness out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Adam, let's turn to the packet of exhibits. Let's skip the cover page. Go right to Exhibit 1. Tell us what Exhibit 1 is.
Exhibit 1 is a simple regional location map with the 2560 units we proposed highlighted in red.
Okay, Exhibit 2.
Exhibit 2 is a close-up showing the Ambrose Bakken Pool with those same two units outlined in blue.
And Exhibit 2A.
Exhibit 2A is our lease ownership for the first 2560 request, showing sections 13 and 24, 25 and 36, but 163 North, 99 West. Within these units, within this proposed unit, we have two existing 1280s, which are both HBP'd. The first one by 2 Coronet wells, showing Samson and partners' working interest a little north of 94%. And then the Strom, which is the unit to the south, with a partnership interest of 100%. Showing the overall working interest for the partnership at 97%.
Okay, let's go to Exhibit 2B.
Exhibit 2B is the other lease ownership breakdown for sections 14 and 23, 25, 26 and 35, 163, 99. All of the Bel Air, which is sections 14 and 23, is a 1280. Section 26, the Leistad, is a 640, and the Lochin is another 640, showing our partnership working interest, 82% in the Bel Air, 100% in the Leistad and the Lochin.
No further questions of the land witness.
Any questions from the staff?
Who are your partners?
I'm sorry, Wilston Hunter and Bakken Hunter.
Mr. Johnson, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you promise to tell the truth in this case?
I do.
Thank you.
Troy, would you state your full name for the record, please? Spell your last name.
Troy Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N.
And Troy, by whom are you employed in what capacity?
Samson Resources, the geologist.
And in that capacity, have you testified before the commission previously and had your qualifications accepted as that of an expert?
Yes, sir.
I'd offer the further testimony of this witness out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Troy, let's turn back to the packet of exhibits, and I'll have you turn to the next exhibit in the packet, Exhibit 3. Can you tell me what Exhibit 3 is?
Exhibit 3 is showing a structure map on top of the middle Bakken. It was contournable at 50 feet. On the map itself, you see highlighted in yellow the sections we're talking about, and also highlighted is the cross-section from 8 to 8 prime that we'll talk about in Exhibit 4. This is those kind of the middle Bakken, very consistent. The reef structure going monoclinal dip from south up to the north.
Okay, let's go to Exhibit 4.
Exhibit 4 shows the cross-section that was shown on structure map of Exhibit number 3 from A to A prime. That just shows the highlights the upper Bakken shale, middle Bakken, lower Bakken shale, and Three Forks, with the middle Bakken and Three Forks being our primary targets in this area.
Okay, and in your opinion, are the geologic conditions in this area such that you have uniform thickness of porosity and permeability and the absence of faults and structural anomalies?
Yes, sir.
So all the questions I have for the geologic witness.
Any questions from the staff?
Troy, your existing well in 25 and 36, what's the target of that well?
I'm sorry, something broke out. What was the question?
What's the target of the well in 25 and 36?
The engineering witness is going to cover all that.
Okay. Never mind then.
Okay.
Don't let us down.
All right. Next witness.
Tiffany Sessions. Have you been sworn?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Tiffany, would you state your full name for the record and spell your last name?
Tiffany Sessions, S-E-S-S-I-O-N-S.
And Tiffany, by whom are you employed in what capacity?
I am employed by Samson Resources as a petroleum engineer. I'm currently working as the Bakken team asset engineering lead.
And you've testified before the commission previously and had your qualifications accepted as out of an expert?
Yes, sir.
Offer the further testimony of this witness out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Tiffany, let's go to Exhibit 5A. Why don't you briefly describe what's contained on 5A, and then specifically addressing Mr. Suggs's question about what interval the various wells that have been completed and drilled and producing are in.
All right. Currently on Exhibit 5A, what we currently have are two 1280 spacing units. To the north, we have the Coronet, and to the south, we have the Strong. In the north, we have recently drilled and completed, but not yet flowed back, the two Coronet wells, and both of those wells are currently landed in the Three Forks. The Strom well sits in sections 25 and 36 to the south, and that is a pigeon foot type completion. One of our earliest wells drilled also drilled into the Three Forks. This is what we proposed for a 25-60 spacing plan. Out here, and there's several reasons that we would request this. The first is that within the southern half of the Section 24, we have some United States federal wildlife lands that are down there, and corresponding with that, we have a lot of wetlands associated with that, and we also have some occupied dwellings down there that would prevent the development within the southern portion of that unit in order to put surface locations. Now, in the north of Section 13 is the actual town of Ambrose, and so we're limited to the north as well from putting surface locations at that location because the town of Ambrose actually sits on the northern portion of that section. And to the south is the Strom. And the layout proposed for this current spacing is based on drilling multi-well pads. And as been provided in testimony today, there's a lot of advantageous things that come to from being able to drill these multi-well pads, and a lot of that is associated with ease of operation, so we're able to batch drill. And we're also able to build a lot less locations, so instead of going in and having to drill and build 14 individual locations, which would pose we wouldn't be able to do that on the Coronet unit anyhow, we can put four wells on a single pad. And that reduces the exposure to the surface, and so we're not disrupting as much of the farming that happens in this area. And also along this corridor is the 104th Street, and right along the 104th Street corridor is where One Oak is currently picking up all of the right-of-way for the installation for the gas gathering that is going to come along this. So by creating a 2560 and centralizing our locations along that corridor, we're looking at savings of about between $350,000 to $400,000 per well potentially, based on the reduced number of locations, the batch drilling, and also the mob costs associated with moving a rig in and out of the location. And so we're proposing four well pads for wherever that is possible, so that we can minimize that impact, but also take advantage of a lot of the other things I've already mentioned.
And you'll also have an opportunity to access more reservoir because of the set elimination.
Yes,
of setbacks.
With the internal setback elimination, instead of having to wait for that, you know, internal offset, we can put a couple of additional stages, which equates to about 10 to 12,000 barrels of incremental oil per well by eliminating that internal offset.
Okay, let's go to the next exhibit, Tiffany. 5B, tell me what that is.
Exhibit 5B is the Bel Air, which is the northern 1280, which is currently spaced as a 1280. And to the south, we've got two 640s, the Lystad, which is in section 26, and the Lockin, which is in section 35. All three of those wells are currently completed in Three Forks. And this is a proposal. So what we're doing is proposing that we go ahead and proceed forward with 14 wells in a 2560 location, 7 to the north and 7 to the south, along that same 104th Street corridor. So these two 2560s that we're requesting are right adjacent next to each other. Again, taking advantage of the One Oak system that's going in right there, we're not going to be disrupting nearly as much surface land by creating these big super pads or eco pads, as sometimes they're called, and we'll be able to streamline our operations along those corridors.
And do you have the same topographic issues or similar topographic issues in this 2560 as you did in the 2560 you discussed previously?
We do have some of the similar. We don't have the town of Ambrose sitting in this one, but we do are sitting in some very wet, swampy type surface location, so it is wet.
And with respect to the cost savings, the decrease in surface use, and also recovering additional reserves, that would be equally applicable to this 2560 as the previous 2560,
yes,
correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's go on to the next exhibit, Tiffany, Exhibit 6. You want to tell us what that is?
Exhibit 6 is just a rough schematic of what our how we're currently designing these wells. So this is a proposed drilling plan and a well bore diagram. And so we're currently drilling these wells, and we would complete the Middle Bakken wells and the Three Forks wells very similarly. Right now what we're doing is we're doing a 40-stage completion, and we're pumping between 25 to 50,000 pounds per stage. So anywhere along these laterals, we're pumping, placing between 1 million and 2 million pounds of sand along the laterals.
Okay, Exhibit 7.
Exhibit 7 is a look at the Ambrose Bakken Pool, and as Troy previously mentioned, we have very contiguous stratigraphic column across, and so this applies to both of the proposed 2560s as far as a reservoir property economics. So the upper portion of this slide is just going through the reservoir parameters that are standardly used to come up with a volumetric assignment of the reserves in place. And so using a 12% recovery factor, we're coming up with an average of about 450 MBO per well, and an associated gas that will be tied to the One Oak system that is expected to be operational in March of 2013. And the bottom portion of that is just looking at the individual well economics, run at $85 for the oil price and $3 for the gas.
Okay, 7A.
Exhibit 7A is a look at the two 640s that we're asking to be combined with the 1280 to the north. And what this slide is demonstrating is the remaining reserves that are going to be left in place if these spacing orders are not put in place. And it's because of the orientation, these wells will drill at a 45-degree orientation in these 640s. And so we know that 640s economically are a challenging thing for the industry to do right now, and everyone is moving to the 1280s because you can get incrementally more reserves for a very small incremental costs associated with drilling these longer laterals. And so what we're looking at is here are the remaining reserves that are in place on each of those 640. So those reserves would be lost if the orders are not granted for us to go ahead, because we cannot develop on these skewed 640s that were initially developed. And so that is what this demonstration for each of those 640s, we're looking at about 1.8 million barrels per 640 of recoverable reserves.
And then 7B.
7B is a very similar. This is the Strom. This was our kind of pigeon foot multilateral well that targeted both the Three Forks, and it's also very similar, just demonstrating that on that 1280, the remaining recoverable reserves after the Strom reaches its estimated EUR is 2.9 million barrels of oil.
And then just very quickly, let's go back just for a moment to Exhibit 5A with respect to the wells that have been drilled, the Strom wells. You're requesting that those remain on the – these are at 640s, is that right?
The Strom is a 1280.
That's 1280.
It's a 1280 that was drilled as two 640 laterals, but it is spaced as a 1280.
A coplanar?
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right.
Or multilateral.
And you're requesting that remain on the 1280 spacing.
Existing 1280, that is correct.
Okay. And because you haven't what are you recommending for the Coronet wells? Are you asking that those be on the 1280 or on 2560s?
I'm going to let Adam answer that question.
We recommend that the Coronet 3H remain with the 1280, and if we can get the order for the 2560 prior to distributing royalty revenue, we'd prefer that the Coronet 4 be the first well in the 2560.
Okay, and then let's go to 5B. Can you tell me how you want to existing wells, you want them to remain on their existing spacing? Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. That's all the questions I have, Madam Examiner. We would offer, well, excuse me, I do have one more question. Tiffany, in your opinion, will the requested relief prevent waste, protect relative rights, and prevent the drilling of unnecessary wells?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now I have no other questions, and we would offer each one of the exhibits that were identified by the three witnesses.
Exhibits will be received. Are there any questions from the staff?
Tiffany, so just to confirm, each of the existing wells that was drilled is in Three Forks?
That is correct.
So your plan for the increased density, is it to drill the Middle Bakken, or will you be alternating or drilling both Middle Bakken and Three Forks?
Yes, we intend to drill Middle Bakken and Three Forks. So any well that is currently labeled, with the exception of the two Coronets, which was a spacing test, would be intended, any odd number well would be a Middle Bakken well, and any even number well will be a Three Forks well in future development within the field.
Do you have any concerns when drilling some of your other Three Forks wells, basically across well paths that have previously been drilled?
Right, as far as collision and pressure depletion and things like that, those are a lot of things that we have discussed. One of the primary concerns we thought initially, well, how are we going to avoid collision? But when we start thinking about it and mapping it, you know, this is an 8-foot ceiling and we've got a 16-foot zone and we've got a 4-inch lateral, and so the probability of actually impacting that well and intersecting it is very minimal. We'll do all the necessary mapping up front on the drilling side to get our directional plaz and make sure that we're not trying to avoid that collision. But we feel like that's a relatively insignificant risk as far as this future development. As far as coming into wells, drilling through depletion, so where are these fracks, and if I drill into a frack that's got a lower pressure, how are we going to handle that? A lot of that can be handled on the drilling side and managed very easily, so you can put ECDs or LCM and stuff in your mud, so when you hit these partially depleted intervals as you go across them, you can manage that on the drilling side very easily. The one thing I would say is this has been a learning curve for the industry as a whole in the Bakken. And so the completion design that we put on these early designs, you know, these 640s have 6 stages of completion in them. Right now, an equivalent 640, we put 20 stages on. And so we don't feel that there's a high probability that you're going to be drilling across constant depletion. You might hit some instantaneous depleted intervals as you're drilling across these intervals. But because the completion design is so different now from what we initially had done, we feel like those risks are relatively minor.
And how about when you frack the wells?
Pardon me?
How about when you actually complete and fracture stimulate the new wells?
Yeah, and as I alluded to, we do a very, very different stimulation than what we do, but where we plan on crossing an existing lateral, we will isolate that with a packer, and so we will not intend to frack where we're crossing a well path on an intention of currently producing well. We would isolate that zone.
And then I'm assuming you would monitor pressures on the existing wells when you completed the...
Absolutely. We talked about possibly, you know, TAing the wells and putting some pressure gauges in and monitoring them, not necessarily out in the lateral, but, you know, at the bottom of the tubing string.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Tiffany, did you say your drilling and completion cost savings were $350,000 to $400,000?
Yes, that is correct. On a per well basis, and how we come up with that is it's costing us about $280,000 to build a single well pad with soil cement and the whole shebang. And so when we go in and we build these four well pads, we're looking at about $400,000 to build these larger pads. So the incremental cost, you divide that by four, there's $180,000 in savings that come right there. The other savings that we're realizing is on the mold cost. It averages about $300,000 to $325,000 per mold within the field. So if I can split those mold costs over four wells instead of burdening a single well, there's another incremental cost savings that comes right there. And then the other cost savings that we're seeing is in the pad drilling itself. So as we're batch drilling, our cycle time has increased substantially, and that's because as we're drilling and we're not changing targets, it's much easier for our drilling engineers and our geologists to steer and kind of streamline. And so what we're seeing is it's averaging us about 16 days per well to drill these wells, 16 to 18 days to drill these wells, whereas before it was taking us, you know, 20, 24 days. And so you're getting an incremental at $50,000 a day with a five-day saving, another $250,000.
And then what is the size of a four-well pad?
We're building about 10 acres.
And what's the size of a typical one-well pad?
We're using about 5 to 7 acres.
Okay, thank you.
7 acres seems kind of large, but...
Yes.
When you drill these wells, Tiffany, are they going to be back-to-back? I don't remember if you said that or not.
What we plan to do is very similar to what we're doing along the 108th corridor, which is the right up along the Canadian border. Is we have two rigs running right there, and they're hopscotching right across. And so we're just drilling up an entire corridor, so we're out of there as soon as possible without disrupting, you know, people that live their lives for extended periods of time. And so we would follow something very similar on the southern corridor. We would move from one pad, and we would just hopscotch the rigs until we're done with the entire 104th corridor. So potentially you would have each of these units drilled up at 60 days per pad in, 180 days to drill an entire unit.
And will all the wells be completed similarly as far as the number of stages and ceramic and proper?
Yeah, we do very similar completions in both the Three Forks and the Middle Bakken. The only exception would be the question that was asked earlier. We would isolate where we're crossing an existing well bore.
And do you have any indication of when you would be connected to a gas line? I know there's a lot of wells up there that have been drilled, but there's not much connected.
There's not much connected. And as Gavin just previously mentioned with this One Oak system, this is what we call the Western Lateral Number 3, which is where this particular batch of lines, and actually along this particular corridor, the right-of-way has been 100% acquired. And so construction was scheduled to start the 15th of October. I don't know if that actually happened, but they were supposed to start construction for actual trenching on the 15th of October. And so they're expecting to be able to take gas up into their gas gathering plant by March of 2013 and be fully operational.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
When you said batch drilling, I assume you meant all four wells are at once, two north and two south?
Yeah, so we would drill the surface on all four at the same time, and then we would intermediate and just all four simultaneously. Yeah.
Mr. Bender, I believe there was a letter of objection that was received on this one. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw it quite some time ago.
Yeah. Any objection to making it part of the record?
No.
All right, we will make...
Before we leave that, then, weren't those why you dismissed some of the 2560s?
No.
No?
I mean, it may have coincided with... I mean, excuse me, it may have solved the problem, but that wasn't the reason we dismissed them.
Okay. But the ones that were addressed in there are being dismissed.
I don't know that for a fact.
I looked at them briefly. I don't think all of them are. Maybe I'm wrong.
I had sent in the letter. The one I was concerned with was the one that they're still drilling in section 14.
Okay. You're Mr.
Mossett? Yeah.
We'll make your letter part of the record. Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to add today?
Well, I guess I might ask Tiffany or just a couple questions. They spoke quite a bit here about cost savings and lessening the footprint, but they haven't spoken much about protecting correlative rights and what the wells. With what I see with these wells in the area, I don't know how you can drill over 4 miles and protect correlative rights. Maybe she could just explain that to me, how you do that.
Well, from a correlative right, it's really based on spacing and how accurately we can space the wells within the reservoir unit itself. The one nice thing about going to 2560 is actually by eliminating this internal offset. So whenever you drill the well, you have the curve. And we would always have to make sure that whenever we built this curve with an internal offset, our casing point had to be past that point. What that does is it lost the part of the reservoir that we were unable to stimulate.
Yeah, I understand that. You get a longer lateral, but
yeah.
The welds, you're probably familiar with these welds in here. I think Samson drilled here, and for example, in this township, 16399, in sections 5 and 8 you drill the well, and 4 and 9, when you look at 6 months' production, you got well bores, a mile apart, and you got one well producing four times what another well is producing. They're a mile apart. How could you combine those and say you're protecting correlative rights?
I'm not sure I understand the question. 5 and 8, I believe, is the Montclair
Tomty
Titan.
Tomty Bucky.
5 and 8 is Tomty Bucky.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one you mentioned?
Well, and 4 and 9 would be a mile to the east. But again, it's just two wells in here that are a mile apart, and you have lots of difference in production.
Yes. There is a difference in production that is tied between those two, and it is a geological explanation on those wells that move to the east. We do not believe that there is any geological difference all the way across the Bel Air unit or across the Strom unit. Exhibit 4, I believe, is what Troy had... you can look at the cross-section.
I didn't get the variance
across those particular units in that section. There are some different things that happen up along the Canadian border that we believe that attribute to the difference. I believe the well you're referencing is the Skyline well, which is in 4 and 9. That is a very different producer, I would agree with you.
If you looked the wells in this township... east or west, it just appears to me that all the wells in the north part of the township are better than those in the south. Wouldn't you agree? And if you could look in 163-100 across the bottom, you don't see the same reservoir characteristics or the same production anyway as you do in the northern part.
Well, I would say that a portion of that, I believe, could be attributed to our completion style. So a lot of the wells to the northern in the southern part of the field were completed much later. They were earlier wells, and so there is a vintaging effect as you go through the data set. So you might have only pumped an 8-stage stimulation in these earlier developments. So I believe the Locken well is one of our first 1280s that's down here relatively close to the Bel Air. The Bel Air is a very good well. The Lystead, Blocken are 640s, and those were both completed as six-stage simulations with very different stimulation philosophy than we currently have today, as we've learned within the basin. And so we think that by, as from a correlative rights standpoint, we view the Bel Air and the Lystead Lock-In geologically as equivalent to the north and to the south. We do not believe that there is any geological variance that is exists within that. Now, in this particular one, the Lystead and Lock-In units, if we are not granted the spacing, there's going to be a lot of correlative rights that are lost in those particular units because we cannot develop economically on those 640s. In fact, they wouldn't be 640s. It would be shorter than 640s. But your incrementally, your cost difference between the shorter and longer laterals, it just is cost preventative if you're looking at half the reserves.
That's all questions I have.
All right. All right, we'll conclude our hearing then in case 18292.